Blog Talk Radio.
Good to have my peoples all in your sight. And Emily Dunlap is in the house. And bow, she about to turn it out. And my girl, Carol Chamber, let me have a Rita. How you feeling, Miles? Stacey White, holding it down for the D all day. Every Stacey White, holding it down for the D all day. Damn day. How y'all feeling, man? So, yeah, we're going to get into it tonight. Ruining her for the next man or woman. Have you ever been in a relationship like that? Have you ever been in a relationship that was so good, that left you feeling so, so secure? A love that was so real, so genuine, so reinforcing that you said, I've never had anything remotely close to this before, and I know goddamn well it's not going to be like this again. So me and this person got to be together forever, forever together. We're brunting, you know what I mean. We got to make it happen, make it seem. We got to make sure that we live as a team. Or have you ever done somebody so bad? Yeah, because it's not always somebody who's doing it to us. Some of us are abusive. Have you ever done somebody so bad that you fucked it up for anybody coming behind you? Like, you lied so much. You stole so much. You abused so much. You insulted so much. You manipulated so much. You were just so nasty, so dirty, so diabolical, so treacherous, so heinous, so abusive, so malicious, it would be hard for them to ever believe that somebody else would do right by them again, ever again. And, you know, when you really think about the gravity of that situation, like, imagine not thinking that somebody would ever do right by you ever again because of what this person did to you. Can you imagine? Okay. And what's going on, Sucre Jetois? Sucre JTX. How you feeling, Ms. JTX? Good to see me some you. That's my word. So, yeah. Ruining them for the next man or woman. Or being ruined for the next man or woman. You know how some people have been in a relationship that was so bad that they took a few years off. I know people that took off decades. And that's plural. That's with an S on the end. I know people who took off decades without having sex, without being in any type of significant relationship, because they said they convinced themselves on the inside, like, I don't need that. You know, all that stuff that people talk about, love and affection and attention and good emotions and stuff. People lying. They're lying. All of them. Each and every last one of them, they pump faking. They making it look good in front of the camera, just like my man used to do with me, just like my woman used to do with me. But behind closed doors, it's all turmoil. It's all nasty. It's all abusive. It's all hurt. It's all crying. It's all yelling and screaming and arguing and back and forth and deception and bullshit, cheating and hurting. That's all it is. Yeah, people putting on a good face. But the truth of the matter is, it's a bad situation, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. I've known people who did not one decade, but two. Sounds crazy when you think about it. But yeah, it can happen. You know, sometimes the devastation that somebody feels behind being in a bad relationship, a toxic relationship, an abusive relationship, is just more than some people can bear. You know, to me, it doesn't make sense, and it makes perfect sense at the same time, because on one side, I feel like you should always try again. Don't let somebody ruin your future by what they did to you in the past or even what they're doing to you in the present. You always maintain your positive presence of mind to know that you're going to weather this storm. But that's easier said than done for some people. Let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752 with this your daily go get a mission show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the... And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. It is the daily go get a mism show. And tonight on the daily go get a mism show, as I was explaining, the metaphoric phrase, light as a rock. It's explaining how deep the young lady is. Yes, my brother, but I would consider light as a rock a simile because of the usage of the word as. And now, light as a rock. Okay. But yeah, I was explaining earlier about the premise of this show, ruining them for the next man or the next woman. And, you know, we're going to have a little bit of conversation about how you may be trying to treat somebody so good that they would never be able to find anybody that would measure up to you, and you can wind up ruining yourself for the next man or the next woman. You know, I'm sure that there are probably some ladies listening to the show, looking at the show, replaying the show, and reading the title of the show, thinking to myself, like, yo, I treated that motherfucker so good that I know no other woman would ever be able to do for him what I did, because I put my heart and my soul into it. I submitted when I had the compulsion to leave. I stood down when it was really time to stand up. I allowed myself to be defended when I knew I could fight for myself. I gave in when I knew that I could stand strong. I catered to his needs. I catered to his insecurities. I catered to his ego. I did everything possible to make this man feel comfortable. I babied the man and I mothered the man. I sistered the man and I best friended the man. I have never put this much effort into treating somebody well in my life. And I've treated, maybe a woman feels like I've treated every man that I've ever been with extremely well. Well, but this one, I put all the eggs into this basket. I said, you know what? I'm going to turn up. My level has always been high, but I turned up for this man. And he still shitted on me. He still shitted on me. So you know what? The next man will never get this level. Will never get that level of care, of love, of attention, of accommodation. The next man will never get that. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I did it for him because I felt like he was worth it. And for a time, it even reinforced that maybe he is worth it. Maybe he was worth it. But in the end, he gave me his ass to kiss and his piss to wipe up. And I said, mm-mm. Half of what I bring to the table is normally 100% of what other women do. So you can best believe you'll never get above 50% from me. You know, so that could act, doing something good, nice, and loving for someone else could ruin you for the next man or the next woman. Think about how many men have felt that way also. I know I've heard men, you know, talking about, I gave her all my money. You know, I gave her everything she wanted. Anything a woman could ask for, I gave it to her. I gave her things that she didn't ask for. And trust me, she asked for a lot. High maintenance. High maintenance. I put my pride to the side. I had plenty of women that were interested in me. I was interested in her. And I did anything and everything in order to make sure that I kept her happy, safe. And what did she do? She fucked around on me with some pants hanging down ass weed selling nigga from around the corner. Well, I'll be goddamn if the next woman that I mess with gets that level. They ain't getting that. So you in the commission of you trying to ruin someone else for the next man or woman, you can wind up being ruined your goddamn self. So let's talk about it. 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, yes, y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. 319-527-6199, baby. It is the Daily Go Get'emism show. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you hit that like button. Hit that like. Hit the like. Hit that like. Hit the like. Hit that like. Hit the like. Ruining yourself. I'm sorry. Ruining the next. Ruining them for the next man or the next woman. What y'all know? What do you know? That's what we're talking about tonight on the Daily Go Get'emism show. Ruining them for the next man or woman. I'm giving you a piece of my love. It's waiting for you. Girl, it's true. Shit is real, man. You know, it's not easy when you really allow yourself to be vulnerable, when you leave yourself open, you know what I mean? Don't front. You know I got you open. Don't front. You know I got you open. You know, loving somebody can be a hard thing to do. It can feel dangerous because you know that sometimes when you try to help others, you can wind up getting hurt yourself. And if you've done it before and things didn't work out in your favor, and I'm talking about when you really are working for the favor of someone else. I'm talking about for the benefit of somebody else. I mean, like when you are trying to be as selfless as possible in the commission of leaving yourself open to be loved, but also to be hurt. And when your greatest fears of being hurt become actualized, yeah, you could fuck around and hurt yourself or ruin yourself. You know, it's a terrible thing when you try to love and you wind up getting hurt. That wasn't, what part of the plan was that? Now, I could see if it was a situation where you really weren't in it for somebody else. You was just grandstanding. You was just acting out for the crowd, you know? You was just showing out for the crowd. But I'm talking about when you really feel it. When you really, you know how it is. You know how when you love somebody so much, you may try to be selfish and it don't work. It just fall flat, you know? Like you at the store and you just pick up something for them because you can't fucking help it. Maybe you just like to see the smile on their face or the surprise on their face. Maybe you know that their journey has been so jagged, so rough, so haggard, so hard, so difficult, so basically bullet riddled, you know? That you say, no, you deserve better, and I'm going to do better for you. You know how it is. If you've ever been in a situation where you poured your heart out to somebody, you poured your heart out to somebody so hard and so deeply because you know that they needed it. You know that they had been getting an unfair shake for so long. And then after you go ahead and do what you do for them, you find out why some of their failures have come to be. You realize like, oh, this person is actually not the good person that they have portrayed themselves to be, or that people visually see when they see this person. So you know, if you've ever helped somebody out that has just been playing the victim, they haven't been the real victim. They've been playing the victim. They always talking about somebody has done them wrong and done them dirty and hurt them and used them and abused them and all of that. And come to find out, I'm not going to say that they deserve the treatment that they got, but let's just say it's been a little even Stevens. They have given out as much work as they have received. But nonetheless, you went forward with your plan to love them, to carry them, to have and to hold. Okay. And now, when everything is said and done, that person that deserved all of that love that you gave and all of those and all of the extras, all of the frills, all of the fringe benefits, all of the trappings and the toppings, all of the condiments. And at the end, they shitted on you. After they've told you stories of them being shitted on for years, they turned around and shitted on you. Now, you may not be the type to shit back. You might be the type to just say, you know what? No more shit. I ain't taking no shit. I ain't giving no shit. It's just going to be me. Me and the kids. I'm just going to go ahead and raise my babies. Go to work, make my money. I can do this by myself. And as much contempt as I have for the I don't need no man movement, I understand the circumstances in which that can come into play. I get it. I don't like it, and many times I don't accept it, but I get it. Okay. All right. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill. I said my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. What's going on, my brother? Thanks for coming on through. It's always good to have my peeps on you. That's my word, too. And my man, Jay the Comedian. My man. Jay Comedian. New York is in the house. That's my man right there. He's funny as shit. If you've ever seen my man Jay perform, he's next level, straight lace. He is next level. He be doing this thing. Yeah, the boy funny. The boy, he be doing this singing thing. He is there. He's that dude. TK Wright says, do you have peppermint oil or mint leaves, Carol? Okay, wait. Carol said, okay, wait. TK Wright says, Omar is killing me by telling the story of my exes. Everything he said was on point, but I never felt ruined. I believe that my ex tried to ruin me, though. No, sir. I'm too strong for that. What's the good thing? Yeah, you were too strong. A lot of other women felt like they were too strong for that, too. So they decided not to play the game anymore. You decided to get back into the game. They decided, well, no. I'm bigger than the game, or the game is bigger than me. I know I ain't playing it no more. Me and myself, maybe I'ma use my two fingers and maybe I ain't using nothing. Maybe I use the shower handle. Maybe I won't. Maybe I don't. Damn, Carol. She said, at Taki, I heard that. I am woman. Oh, Lord. Man, and look, all them exclamation points. You gonna fuck around and get these damn feminists up in here, and then we gonna shut down the show. You have ruined me for the next episode. Okay, Carol says, you give them your all, and they don't appreciate you for nothing. No, sir, buddy. I'm just gonna roll out and do me. Narciso says, I don't need no man, and bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. Yeah. And it's easy to feel like that when you're younger. For men, you know, bitches, all these bitches ain't shit. And blah, 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 blah. That's how you be feeling when you're young. You know, you got all this testosterone. But all the testosterone has been knocked the fuck out of your ass by a heartbreak. We're bringing on the heartbreak. See, there's a lot of pressure. At least there used to be, because today's young boys ain't really shit. They soft as powder. And they cottonelle. But back in the day, there was so much pressure for a man to be a man, for a man to be more masculine, for him to be macho, machismo, you know, that a lot of men weren't able to show their emotions. the way they may have needed to. Excuse me. And it still exists to this day. It's still that way. So what's a man to do? What's a man to do? He stands up when he really wants to sit down. He rebels when he really wants to submit. He really wants to concede. You know? So it's a tough situation. Really, 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 really tough. Real tough, you know what I'm saying? So taking all of that into consideration, even with men, a man might shut it down temporarily. Shut it down temporarily. Or he might use that energy in a negative way to try to compensate for what he has been fucked up with. That's better. But yeah, women, you know, women, I'm not going to say that women, let me put it this way. I do believe that women have better emotionally compensating or reinforcing resources than men do. I will say that. You also see women openly expressing their pain even when they try to hide it. You know, y'all, I know y'all get on me and y'all think that I'm short-sighted when I talk about how disgusted I am when I see a woman that's celibate. But for me, it seems like it's just riddled with pain. You know what I'm saying? Like, why wouldn't you? You know, sex releases so much positive energy. It relieves pain, literally. And the people that I've known, me, and I've known a lot of women, and the women that I've known who were practicing celibacy, they weren't doing it for their health. They weren't trying to cleanse their soul. Some of them tried to kick that shit, but when you talk to them deeply, or if you really knew them, you knew. Yeah, they got a string of bad relationships that they couldn't recover from anymore. So they stopped fucking. They believed that sex was the problem, the real problem behind their relationship woes. Not because the sex was bad, and not because it was good, but the sex was directly related to their emotions. And I'm gonna say this, and some people aren't going to agree with me, and I don't really give a fuck. But this is the way I see it. This is the way I've learned it, and so I'm going to express it. Women that don't have good pussy suffer. They really suffer out there. I'm not kidding. They do suffer because a man will fight tooth and nail for a woman that has good pussy. They will. You see all of these ratchet, crazy ass, violent, extra loud and obnoxious women out here that can't seem to get rid of a nigga. You know why they can't get rid of him? Because she got that demon between her legs. She got that demon. Even if it ain't that demonic, it's demonic enough for that man to say, you know what, this bitch ain't shit. She get on my fucking nerves. I can't take her nowhere. I can't do nothing with her. She's overzealous and jealous. And she's just a nightmare. But goddamn. Pussy though, he will rationalize. All right, I'm gonna just go over there and fuck her one more time, or I'll find a way to at least have a sexual relationship with her if it's nothing else. And it's the truth. Women that don't have no good pussy, they don't know nothing about that shit. They don't know nothing about it. It's true. It's true. So, you know, women that ain't really, that ain't blessed like that, they got to say things like, yeah, as soon as you give these men some ass or whatever, then they start acting crazy and they don't act like, they act like, you know, you ain't good for nothing else. You got a problem that you haven't identified or accepted yet, shorty. It's true. It's just like a man. A man who ain't got no dick skills, he going to consistently have trouble with his woman. I know it sounds like I reduce everything to sex, but, you know, I mean, the truth is the truth. You know how women act? When you piping them correctly, they know that shit don't come, that shit don't come a dime a dozen. So they hold on for a minute. Like, all right, nigga, I know you kind of got some ain't shit qualities about you. You don't, you know, you don't really make no money, and the money that you do make, you kind of stingy with it. You know, you're not that good of a father or a husband or a boyfriend and whatever. And you're kind of rude and obnoxious, and you know, you're immature and your head is out there in the streets and blah, blah, blah. And you know what I mean? You really, really should. You know, you wasn't really raised that right, and your mama co-signed that dumb shit that you be doing. She protected stupid ass, and you grew up without a father, and you not even really there for your kids. But you got this dick. The one thing about you, you got this dick. It's the one skill. If you don't have none, and you are limited, but you got this one skill. Like, he might not be good for a buck, but at least the nigga good for a fuck. Now, here's what you can't do. Well, some people claim that you can't. Sexually, I don't believe that you can ruin a person for the next person. It may be hard for them to find somebody who's piping them as well as you was piping them or gripping them as well as you was gripping them. But they'll find something comparable, even if they just have to balance the scales a little bit. Like, yeah, this one ain't as great, but the good pussy one can't cook and wouldn't cook. And, you know, she was, you know, she used to steal money out of my wallet and shit like this. This one is actually good for a couple of dollars. You know, so, but people do get caught up in the physical. A lot of people get caught up in the physical. And it's like the same people who get caught up in the physical traits of somebody, they're the same ones that might be shutting the twat down for a few years. Pardon my candor for that last exchange, but hey, it is what it is. I'm just calling it how I see it. No, I still said, saving myself for Jesus. I'm like, these freaks be going too far, Nars. Why would, now, Jesus got to freak you? Oh, man. I think that that's blasphemous. I'm in love with Jesus. Jesus is my man. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought he was your father. What in the incestuous relationship is this? Man, y'all wilding. You're wilding. You're wilding. But yeah, man. So, ruining them for the next man or the next woman. Ruining them. Fran Gosen. You are my friend. What's going on, friend? I say la da da, la da da, la da da, la da dee da 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 da. Hey, what's up, my darling friend? All right. So, Norris Hill says, Carol, I saw a meme of a skeleton sitting at the bar waiting for the perfect woman. Yeah. Good looking out, Emily. Fran goes and says, how ruined is ruined? Listen, Fran, if you got to ask, then you ain't there. Now, okay. Okay. All right. Since you asked, you know what? That's an interesting question. So I think it warrants a decent answer. This is how ruined ruined is. You can be ruined. Okay, let's say there are a lot of pancake places out there. You might like IHOP pancakes. So other places in the area that serve pancakes, diners and other little chain places or whatever. You might, they got pancakes, but they ain't like them IHOP pancakes. I need the IHOP. So if I'm going to eat pancakes, I got to have an IHOP pancake. So like so when it's time for you to eat a pancake, you like, nah, I'll eat at another place, but I won't have pancakes unless I'm at Wawa. Okay. That's a choice. The other, when you're ruined for something, it's like, not only will I not eat pancakes any place but Wawa, but I won't eat nothing anywhere except for Wawa. Like, I like ShopRite, so I buy my food at ShopRite. But I'll eat I'll buy food from Save A Lot and Produce Junction and Trader Joe's and that kind of shit. But if you're ruined, like, no, if we not going to ShopRite, then I'm not buying no groceries. It's like that. It's like that. I like the pancakes at Wawa. I'm sorry. IHOP. I like the pancakes at IHOP. But you might like the other shit other places. Just like the pancakes at IHOP. Pancakes. Like, nah, I won't shop at Acme. ShopRite, that's it. Nowhere else but ShopRite. ShopRite only, baby. So yeah. So that's what we're talking about. You know, when you're really ruined for somebody. So, you know, in the example that you're talking about, is sexually, physically, or whatever, it's like, if I'm not fucking them, I'm not fucking nobody. If you can't love me the way that the last one used to love me, and nobody can love me like the last one loved me, so my love is in my past. I'm going forward with something else. And it ain't going to be love. That type of ruined. You're ruined. Tainted. Tainted love. Oh, tainted love. Kiss me, baby, tainted love. You know what I mean? It is Throwback Thursday, baby. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're getting into tonight, y'all. On the daily go get a mism show. Ruining them for the next man or the next woman. Ruining them for the next man or the next woman. Sukre says, I'm ruined. How ruined are you? Because some people might think that they're ruined. You might not be ruined. You might just, you know, you might be IHOP. Because normally, now, I hate to say what I'm about to say. But normally, well, I'm going to say that it's customarily easier to ruin somebody negatively for the next man or the next woman than it is to ruin them positively. You don't have too many people saying, unless they lost a lover or a spouse in death. Like, you know, when my husband got killed, when my husband died, or my wife, you know, that's it. Nobody ever loved me like that. And one of the reasons behind that is that we tend to romanticize what some people have done for us when they pass. I'm not trying to dish, but I'm just trying to be as truthful as possible. When Tupac was alive, I don't think that there was a person alive that was having that he was the best rapper ever conversation. I don't remember nobody saying that shit. And you sure had the time to say it. But then again, you didn't really have time to say it because he was only in the game 4 years tops. Well, 1991. All right. When the Humpty Dance came out, what was that, 1990? Right. That was 1990, right? But that wasn't Tupac's, that wasn't his show. Who was a Tupac? But in 91, Tupac was in Juice, right? And then he came out with Tupacalypse Now, the first album. What was that? Was that 91 or 92? Hold on. I'm just going to put it out there. He's not good enough to be the best rapper ever. He's just not. But when he died, he automatically got entered into that conversation. He didn't have a long enough run. He just didn't. I understand, you know, the impact that he had, but that was a quickie. Just, people be feeling like I'm dissing him. Like, no, but he's nowhere near in that conversation. It's a slap in the face to the ones who belong in that conversation. And that goes for Biggie too. And I was definitely a Biggie fan more than a Pop fan, but no, he don't deserve to be nowhere near that conversation. Nobody wasn't talking about no Biggie was the best rapper. They liked the shit. They liked the hell out of him. The songs was dope. Biggie songs was dope. I didn't consider Tupac songs to be all that dope. Evidently, some people did. But hey. My point is that we romanticize people's contributions in death in the event of their passing. And sometimes it murks up the truth a little bit. It murks up the truth. Let me see here. What year was Tupac's album Tupacalypse Now released? 1991. Okay.
1991. According to Genius.com, Tupacalypse Now is Tupac's debut studio album, released on November 12, 1991.
Okay.
The album tackles issues of society such as racism, police brutality, poverty, and teenage pregnancy. The album's title is a blend of Tupac's name and the 1979 film Apocalypse Now.
Tupac. She keeps calling him Tupac. Okay. So November 12, 1991. So that album spilled over into 1992. Brenda's Got a Baby. And when I heard the album, it was 1992. I was like, Tupac, whatever. But remember, you know, if we're talking about 1991, the fall of 1991, so his album, Tupacalypse Now, and the movie Juice came out right around the same time. Right? Same time. So he had a hell of a buzz. He had a hell of a buzz coming up out of there. Good for him. So, yeah. So, if you want to count 1991, from 91 to 96, 5 years. And He wasn't large like that until at least 93 when he started getting in trouble with the cops and all of that. And then he got shot and went to jail. And, you know, like, a lot of notoriety. But anyway, so we do the same thing. There's a tendency for us to do the same thing when it comes to our past loves. So, you know, if somebody, God forbid, passes suddenly and tragically, automatically in our minds, we start talking about their good traits, especially if they were on a good run when they went out. So, yeah, that was the greatest love I ever had. Nobody could ever live up to my husband. Nobody could ever live up to my wife or whatever. You know, it was the cream of the crops. If they were alive, we would be together today. Nobody ever treated me like that. And it may be true, but the time frame in which they had to establish themselves may have been really short. So it can add up to sort of ruining you for somebody else, but you're not normally ruined for good. Somebody's going to come along and say, nah, you need to give somebody else a chance because you can't get in the grave with them. You can't get in that urn with them. You can't get in the casket with them. You got to move on. You got to move on. Sweetness for me. What's going on? Sweetness for me. Thanks for coming on through. Thanks for coming on through. Thanks for coming on through. All right. Carol Chamberlain says, people do get used to certain things in certain ways and not be able to adapt to changing things. Carol, sometimes our maturity just doesn't match with our age frame. And that's not to say that you act immature in ways that are negative, but maturity covers a blanket of things. So when I might say our maturity doesn't always match with our age, what I mean is a mature person understands that they have to adapt to change. They have to change. Even if you're great at something, you still have to adapt to change because other people or other things are going to start to catch up with you. You're not going to be able to stay in the same mind frame for the rest of your life. You're not going to be able to stay in the same physical shape for the rest of your life. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. Nobody can do it. It's impossible. So when we fail to accept that change is imminent and that it's inevitable, well, we get kind of like what you just said. People get used to certain things in certain ways and not be able to adapt to changing things. So they are offended by change. Like, it was good the way it was. We shouldn't have touched it. Said, man, we be on Facebook, right? We be on Facebook. I know I'd be pissed off when they change, you know, they update something. They're like, why y'all put that over there? It don't need that. It was good the way it was. It's like, as soon as you learn how to navigate it, then they change it again. We don't have no control over that. So it is what it is. Emily says, I am ruined. My husband gave me everything that I wanted. Excuse me. Of course, I don't think that I am, but people have said that I was, but oh well. Well, if you don't think that you were or are, then you're not. Other people can't make the determination about whether you're ruined for somebody else. It's something that you have to decide. Like, I'm not willing to play that game with them, with this, with that. That's how you know you're ruined. You make that declaration. You make that determination. Nobody else can do it besides you. Nobody. You under the, you know what I'm talking about? Feel what I'm talking, you get me? Emily says, Carol, maybe that's what I am as well, spoiled. Carol says, I'm not ruined, but I know I'm spoiled. Shoot, I mean, y'all might spoil yourselves. I mean, some of y'all make good money. Anyway, Narciso says, he'll give up all his comforts and sleep out in the rain if she say that's the way it ought to be. Fran was like, Tupac. That's what she said, Tupac. Tupacalypse, Emily says. White people most times pronounce his name like that. I've never heard a white person pronounce his name Tupac. But that was a computer, so that doesn't count. So it says, I met a widow that felt that way. Yeah, my husband. My husband was everything. He was the greatest man I ever knew. He was the best, and he was the greatest, and I've never met a man like him before. After him, they broke the mold, and God never's going to make another man like that for sure. And if he ever comes back, I know he can't come back, so I'ma meet him in the afterlife, and I'm always 100% and never again will be anybody else's wife except his. He is the man. He is the best. He is the one. You're none can test. You understand, yo. He was the man, and he's not coming back again, so I won't have another friend. Okay. Yeah, it's only people who hit that like button. I'm just saying. It's only people. Okay. Okay. On my computer, it's showing 2 likes. Shirley, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Shirley, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. What's good? What's going on, bye? Emily says, I have heard it. Okay. She says, Carol, different phones and computers show different. Showing 7 on my Android and 3 on my iPhone. iPhone hating? I'm shocked. Could it be? So, yeah, man. Ruining them for the next man or next woman. I see we have a caller on the line. Caller with the last number is 4828. Welcome to the Daily Go Get-A-Mism Show. What is on your mind this evening? Thank you for holding. What's good?
No problem. Thank you for having me. I was just thinking that when you see that somebody has ruined you, it has to be more of a mental thing than anything. It's like it's not really sexual, because now they're in your head. Now they're monopolizing a certain headspace that's stifling you from developing in whatever area that you claim that they've ruined you for.
I agree. It's definitely a mental thing, but most things in life are mental. So, like, when you know, there have been people who claimed that they couldn't raise their arm. They were so stressed out. They're like, oh, I can't raise my arm. It wasn't because anything physical was wrong with them, but they convinced themselves that they couldn't do it. So when you go through a traumatic experience, sometimes the shock of it, you know, I'm talking about the medical shock, you know, I'm not talking about being surprised, but the medical shock of it can be so overwhelming that you really feel like you're going to pass out, or like it's just devastating to some people to the degree that they can't handle it. You know, it's like suffering from an anxiety attack or something like that, you know, getting the worst news of your life or whatever. So yeah, it's definitely a mental thing, but that's why I was saying, only you can make the determination about whether you're ruined for the next man or woman. Like, other people may try to ruin you, but you have to make that determination, because they can't stop you from loving again, liking again, dating again, trying again. They can't stop that. You can stop yourself from doing that, though. You can convince yourself that it's not worth it anymore. And unfortunately, a lot of people make that decision or that determination.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had the unfortunate experience of watching my mother go through that after my stepfather passed away. You know, it's like, you know, and you talked about romanticizing somebody's efforts and what they are, you know, once they've passed on. That's exactly what happened. You know, my mother's a very spirited woman, and my stepfather was very, very calm. You know, she'd be as spirited as she wanted to be, and he just never lost his cool. He never raised his voice, anything like that. He bought her properties, and, you know, they traveled the world. He passed away, and then all of a sudden, the appreciation for who he was, you know, from what he was to her was heightened by, you know, by his death, and she really felt like she was, like, nobody could hold a candle, you know, to this person. She literally said, I'm, like, he ruined it for everybody. You know, he set the bar so high that she did not believe that anyone could attain what he did. And luckily she wound up being wrong. She found that out this year during the pandemic. But it took years. He passed away in 2002.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's taken that long.
Life goes on. In the heat of the moment, you may not feel like it will. You know what I mean? And you may even feel like it's a slap in the face or a disrespect or a sign of disrespect to not acknowledge somebody as being the best. I've heard people do it not just with past lovers and stuff like that. You may have heard people do it with family members. I've known people who grandparents or parents have died, and they just, you know, I've heard people say this about their grandparents. I remember one woman I know, her grandfather died, and her grandfather were very, very close. And she said, yeah, my grandfather was the epitome of what a real man was. Like, that's what a man is supposed to be, like my granddad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know a grandfather. He's a nice guy. But let's just say I've been around other real men.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if any of them were the epitome of what a real man is, you know, but they were good enough, and so was her grandfather. But in her eyes, he was the cream of the crop. And that's fine. I have no problem with her paying homage. But I understood the space that it was coming from. I got it. I totally understood it. You know, so we do that, especially in the Black community. We definitely big up our dead. You know, shoot, I've known people. I went to a funeral once. I don't know if any of y'all have had the experience of doing this. I don't know if any of you have had the experience of attending a funeral of someone who was the aggressor instead of someone who was the victim. There was a young man that I knew. Watched him grow up. Well, I knew him when he was young, and I was separated from him for years. And him and his friend tried to rob this store up in Germantown. And the man shot and killed him. End of story. Now, of course, the narrative that was painted at the funeral was different. And it was a highly publicized, you know, event. So everybody knew what happened. He was wrong. But I loved the kid. And other people loved him too. So, of course, they're going to change, you know, in their mind, they change the narrative of the circumstances surrounding his funeral. But he did what he did. And unfortunately, he paid the ultimate price because of it. And in the commission of it. He tried to stick up that man. That man stuck him back up and ended him. And the dude that he did it with survived. So he has to live with that memory too. But it's an awkward situation. Because I remember that the boy who got killed was the cousin of my ex. And I remember my ex blaming his mom for him going astray. And I'm thinking to myself, like, man, his mom might not have been the best mom, but I tell you what, his mom set a good example working. She was with a man who was acting as the boy's father. You know, they separated or whatever, but she made good money and, you know, like, nobody's perfect. But to say that it was her fault that he made the choices that he made as an adult, I'm not sure if I saw it that way. But these are the type of things that happen. You know what I'm saying? Now, did he become the best kid ever in his passing? No. But maybe to somebody else, he ruined everything. I don't know if he had a girl. Maybe he had a woman. And maybe in his passing, she was ruined for a while from messing around with anybody else, with another man, or continuing, you know, to try to find love and comfort with another man. Who knows? But it's a, yeah, we pay homage to our fallen. And that's only right. I agree with it to a certain degree.
That reminds me of, I have this uncle, and he was one of my favorite uncles. He was a real badass. We were very close, but, you know, truth be told, he was a womanizer. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew he was a womanizer. When he died, this very large church was filled with mostly his children. We didn't know all of them. We didn't even know about some of these kids, but we knew they were his children because we all looked like. At his funeral, rather than saying, you know, nobody's going to get up and be like, he was a womanizer, they just said he was very affectionate. They called him affectionate. You know, I'm sitting in the choir stand, like, to say the least, you know. He was more than that, buddy. You know, he was a loving and caring man, very affectionate to all those around him. I was like, aha, uh-huh. You know, so that just thinking about what you say and paying homage.
He nailed it.
Yeah, he didn't, he though?
Now, maybe one of the women that he was dealing with, he may have ruined them for another man. But did he ruin her in a good way or ruin her in a bad way? Because it can go either way. I just think that the abusive part is a little bit easier to ruin somebody with. It may not last forever, but just like ruining somebody in a good way won't last forever. So,
I don't know.
Yeah. Now that ruining, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either. It's a tough situation. But for those who claim that, for those who feel that they have been ruined, I mean, who are we to say that they haven't been? I just think that it's tragic when you have determined that somebody has ruined you for the future, for a future connection, bond, mm-hmm. or love with someone else because of how bad that they have done you. Because it can take a while to build up the wall, to tear down the walls of distrust and build up a strong foundation of trust. And then it just seems like that can be torn, that wall can be torn down, or the wall of distrust can be built up in such a small amount of time, but tearing it down can be harder and harder. The more times that you have run into evidence that maybe people ain't 100%, maybe all men do cheat, maybe such and such ain't on the level, maybe I'm incapable of being able to find a good man. They say that they're out here, but I'm never able to find them. You know, that kind of stuff. And if you couple that with some pre-existing bouts of depression and stuff like that, it can make it worse, way worse. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. so
I don't know. I can't relate to having felt ruined. I don't feel that way. I've literally never felt that way. You know, even through my worst heartbreak, I didn't feel ruined. This right here was fucked up, but I'm not ruined for the next person. I'm upset about this with this particular person, so I can't relate to having had those feelings. But I've seen so many men and women who have felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've tried to talk them through it. No, you can't blame one person for the other person's, you know, issues. And, you know, I don't know. I've never really been able to talk someone out of it past a certain point. They'll listen to me only up until a point. But, you know, they prefer to stay in, like you said, in their depressed state. I don't know. Maybe that's a comforting place for them. I have no idea. I have been celibate, but it wasn't for any of the reasons that you mentioned earlier. Like, there was no depression or anything like that involved. It was more about focus for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like sex. it wasn't about anything nefarious. But yeah, I wouldn't be able to answer any questions as far as feeling ruined. Because I haven't felt that way. Only what I've seen.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing. The little you can... I just don't think that it's healthy to not think or not believe or to be convinced that you can't move on in any situation. Yeah. You know?
Right.
But
I agree.
But so many of us look for the ending of things in the first place, that maybe being ruined is not such a bad idea to them. Oh my God, you treat me so good. You ruining me for the next man. If such and such doesn't do this, well, they can forget it. Sounds good, especially when you're in the honeymoon phase of your relationship to somebody. But how long does a honeymoon last? Think of the honeymoon. Now, when you get married, especially if you have a wedding, then you go on a honeymoon right after. You ever think about that? Like, should that be the position of timing for the honeymoon? Like, you get married and then you go on vacation.
Uh-huh.
You ever really think about that? Like, vacation.
No, not really.
Yeah, I never really thought about it either, but now I am. I'm thinking, now you spent all of this money on a wedding, or somebody spent the money. Now you all need to go away. Like, why do you need to go away right after you get married?
Well, to have some alone time, I guess. I don't know.
You've got me. Let me know when you figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to be a while. I think I'm going to be a minute on this. Because I haven't sorted it out in my head yet. Yeah. as soon as we say I do, we got to go on vacation. Okay. It's a tradition. But where did our slave ancestors, did they get to go on a honeymoon? You know, did they give them like a slave quarter suite? Did they hook them up with a slave quarter suite, you know what I mean, right after they jumped the broom? Like, listen, tonight, you slaves ain't going to have to fuck in front of the kids. Tonight.
Who's the fuck in the basement?
We're gonna give you a outhouse of your own for tonight.
Oh my god. Ooh wee. What's up?
All right. We gotta get on up out of here. But listen, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate it mucho. No problem. Thanks for the insight. Thanks for the story.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. Very, very much. Great call there. Great call. Terrifico. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. May 6th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Caramel thick melt. As a matter of fact, caramel thick K-melt, turning 40 years old today, and she's Jamaican, and she feels that way. Happy birthday to you. And my brother from the G, Germantown all day, stand up, turning 54 years old today, my man Ray Haynes. Happy birthday today. And Cadillac Lewis, turning 35 years old today, and Mai Johnson turning 44 years old. Bow, 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 bow. Yeah, what's up now? And my girl Carrie Ann Mannings. She's Jamaican too. She's Jamaican. She's yacht guys. Happy birthday to you, Carrie Ann. And last but not least, my cuz, New York stand up all day. Queens is all up in the place. I believe. We used to go to Queens. Deneen Nene McIntyre Vines. Happy birthday. 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 Cuz yo, do your thing. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. May 6th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, ruining you for the next man or the next woman. Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever felt like you were close? Have you ever experienced anything like that? Have you ever been there? Have you sent anybody there? Did they get there? Will they be there? Well, it potentially can happen to anybody. And then again, it could potentially happen to nobody because it could all just be perception. Life goes on, man. And I would encourage everybody, each and every person, to remember that life goes on. Life goes on when things are working out and life goes on when things aren't working out in your favor, even a little bit. But you will keep moving, keep moving on. It's going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right, and everything is going to be all right. Thank you, everything is going to be all right. We do the damn thing for the rest of the night. Hold on. Matter of fact, hold on. We can play our music in the background. Everything is going to be all right, and everything is going to be all right. Thank you, Mom. I'm going to act like I can't find this shit. All right, here we go. Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Yeah. Take care of yourself, man. You know, sometimes these people try to get all up in your head and try to make you think that, that you need them to the point where you'll never be able to move forward again. That's not a healthy position. No matter how good somebody is or how bad somebody is, you will be able to move on, move forward, and trying to find a way to improve in whatever situation that you're in. People aren't tailor-made to you, and you aren't tailor-made to them either. But you can both become tailored, and you can make the best of any situation that you're placed in. So, believe not that you will never be able to move on, and that you will never be better than what you are doing now. It's going to be y'all right, and everything is going to be okay. Tomorrow is another day. And as long as you are here to experience tomorrow as being another day, then you can make something out of that tomorrow. You can make a bunch of tomorrows. You can make a week out of tomorrow. You can make a month out of tomorrow. You can make a year or decade or millennia out of tomorrow. Century or millennia. Stand up, man, you know, feel good about whatever experience that you had, good or bad, because there's a lesson in every experience that you've ever had, and you keep learning the lessons, and the lessons that you learn, make sure that you teach one, too, teaching those lessons, as you get them in, keep outsourcing, as you keep learning the lessons, don't let no grass grow up under your feet when it comes to you learning and teaching. And that's how we feel. That's how we're going to be all right. And everything's going to be all right, regardless of how it feels in the present time. You know what I mean? We will be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure if y'all come through, make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you share the show. I'd appreciate it. So, long talk. We can get you out of here right now. Shut the music.